This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the 1000 Hours Outside podcast. My name is Ginny Urich. I'm the founder of 1000 Hours Outside, and you are in for a treat today, a total treat. I reference the book Balanced and Barefoot by Angela Hanscom. I mean, multiple times a week, I think. Like, this comes out of my mouth just constantly and talking. And Angela is here, but also with her daughter, Joelle, who is a senior in high school this year, about to graduate. Welcome to the both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
They match. If you can't see them, but like their faces match. it's like the coolest thing. I just want to just say, and people have probably heard it quite a bit, but the book Balanced and Barefoot really did change our childhood experience. I think it's when I say it all the time that every family should own and every teacher should read, because it really matters getting our kids out to play. And what's really cool that Joelle is here, because I think we're starting to get a little bit of feedback, or a lot of bit of feedback, from those who have grown up in an age when screens are dominating a lot of things.
Yeah.
And Joelle, I talked to a young man who's 20, so a couple years older than you recently, and he had a little bit of an opposite story than you, where he said his childhood basically was stolen, he felt like, because of screens. And his mom, this is a really interesting part, his mom actually was kind of strict with the screens, but there wasn't a Timber Nook option. So even though he wasn't on screens, every other kid was.
Yeah.
And so he didn't have the option to have playmates. So I'm so excited to hear your perspective being a senior in high school. I would love to know just a little bit of some of your big memories. You know, when you're a kid, you don't know anything different. This is how your childhood is. And I know now you are starting to see some differences as everyone is growing older. But what was that early childhood like for you?
Yeah, sure. So my mom banned, like, she didn't allow us to get phones until freshman year of high school, and we had no other electronics, and we barely ever watched, like, movies. It was only on Friday nights. And so my whole childhood was spent outside in the woods, and every summer I always look forward to the summer camps, because it was the same kids almost every year, and we, like, knew what to do. We would all get together. And we'd have our little, like, society that we made, and it was, like, boys versus girls, and we would just, like, steal the whole time. Like, we didn't even care about the camp's curriculum. We would just go back to the same game. We made, like, the weirdest currency. Like, pine cones was, like, a dollar bill, and, like, gems were, like, you were rich if you had gems. But it was great. I just remember running through, like, the woods, climbing trees, having spies, and, like, going on missions and stuff. It was something that not a lot of kids got to experience. So I'm very, like, lucky that I had that. I feel like because we didn't have electronics as kids, we built more face-to-face communication-wise, like, better communication skills.
Sure.
Like, today I can hold a conversation with a person that lasts longer than a minute while, like, I'll start talking to, like, some of my classmates, and, like, it, like, ends in, like, 30 seconds. And I'm like, okay.
Wow, Joelle.
Yeah.
I was just talking to a man named Kim John Payne, who's written some phenomenal books, just like your mom, ones that really permeate for parents. And he said, no screen and low screen kids are enduringly popular. And he talked about just what you said. If all you can talk about is TikTok, and I've been in those situations too, the conversations don't go very long.
Nope.
So can you talk to us about what you're seeing now? So you're there. You're getting the experiences that a parent does not get, right? I don't get to spend the day with a bunch of seniors or high schoolers. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between, that you notice, between a child who maybe has had a childhood that's pretty steeped in screens and one that has had a lot more play?
Yeah, so when I'm in class, as soon as the lesson over, the phones come out. Before the lesson starts, the phones come out. So everyone is constantly looking at their phones and typing and, like, doing their stupid video games and stuff. And I feel like the kids that played outside, like me and my sister, we, like, put our phones in the bag for, like, the day. And we try to, like, have in-person communications with other kids, but they, like, don't really give you the time of day because they're focusing on, like, who they're communicating to on their phone rather than interpersonal connections. So it's really crazy. Like, you walk into lunch and barely anyone is talking because they're just on their screens. Aww. It's really weird. It's really weird.
It's really sad. This is actually what this other young man talked about. His name's Sean. So he's 2 years older than you. Mm-hmm. And he called it a social wasteland.
Yep.
That was the terminology that he used, because he said no one's talking. And the problem is if you don't have an option like Timber Nook, where there are just a bunch of kids there, if no one's out in the neighborhood and everyone else is on their screens, mm-hmm. you have no option. So I think it is important. You're sharing a really important message, Joelle, because the parents aren't there and they don't totally know how it's going. Do you think that your friends or your classmates would wish that they would have had a different childhood?
I think so. I mean, you might ask them and they might say, like, no, like, I like my childhood. But I feel like if they went back and they relived their childhood without screens, I think that they would greatly appreciate the lack of screen time, because it, like, changes your perspective on the world as well.
There's a lot of parents, Joelle, that would say, making up a secret society and your pine cones are money. They would say that in this day and age, when the world is changing rapidly, they would say, that seems like a waste of time. What would you say to them?
Well, I would say that their perspective is skewed a little bit, because I don't know. I feel like a childhood on the screens is not really a childhood, because I feel like kids that grow up on the screens, they don't have the opportunity to go outside, so they don't understand, like, what it's like. And just, like, sometimes it's the parents' way of babysitting them. Like, if they have something to do, they'll just set their screen and, like, set the screen in front of the kid and, like, hey, like, watch this for a little bit. Like, mommy has work to do. I feel like it was a blessing that mom was, like, a stay-at-home mom, so that she could have time to take away the screens and, like, shoo us outside even when we didn't want to go.
Aw. It really is important, I think, to think about your child's perspective as an older teen. And even into their early 20s, my midwife has always said, someday our kids are going to call us to account and say, why? Why didn't you say no more often? I lost my childhood. And there's a verse in the Bible, and I know that people that listen, some are Christian and some are not, but there's one that says, wisdom is proved right by her children. And I think the premise there is that sometimes it takes a very long time for the ramifications of our decisions to show up. Childhood is long. And you may not notice it when you're 7 or 8 or 10, but once you're hitting that stage where you're close to adulthood, you start to see. Joelle, when did you start to see? When did you start to see, this play is affecting how I am as a person, and I can see how I'm a little bit different than some of these other kids?
Probably around, like, middle school, junior high age, where, like, kids were, like, getting their phones and they're like, oh, I got the newest iPhone. And I was like, wow, like, I don't even have one. But then, like, you started to see, like, how they were more focused on what was happening online than in person. That was pretty much all they would talk about, was, like, online memes and, like, what's happening to, like, famous celebrities. And, like, I didn't understand it because I didn't have that kind of internet access. I felt, like, almost alienated, because I felt like I was living under a rock. But as I got older, I realized that I was happy for that experience, and, like, I wouldn't have changed it.
That is a big fear of parents, is that their child is going to feel alienated. And that's always existed, I think, right, Angie? When I was a kid, we didn't have cable. And my parents were a little strict about what we could watch. So I do remember going to school and everybody would have watched such and such show. It was like Dawson's Creek. I don't even know. And I couldn't watch any of them. I wasn't allowed. And you do feel a little alienated. Angie, how did you walk your girls through? You know, because waiting through all of middle school, we did the same thing. We didn't do cell phones until ninth grade. Waiting through all of middle school without a cell phone, how did you help your daughters navigate through that feeling of alienation and being left out?
So I just kept it simple. Like, the movies was a special treat. You know, some of it was hard because they're like, but everyone else got to. And I'm like, you'll thank me someday. And so just being patient and just kind of holding ground with that. Like Joelle said, she didn't really understand the ramifications till high school, I think, when you started picking up on the benefits. But maybe going back to the woods too, like, she has such great stories, Joelle, about some of her experiences in the woods. I think that might lay a foundation, but I don't know if you want to tell her some of the funny stories that you shared at our Timbernook conference.
Tell us stories. You had a panel. So you have, okay, so Timbernook, we back up because I'm assuming that everybody knows everything about this since I've been reading the book for a long time. But Timbernook is the program. Mm. This is now licensed. And actually, Angie, there's one coming not far from us in Jackson, Michigan.
Oh, I heard about that.
So she emailed me. It's less than an hour away. So she said, we're going to go and hang out and check that out. I'm super excited.
But about that.
This is now around the world. Yep. And once a year, you have these conferences where you bring in all sorts of people. Mm-hmm. And you did something special this year with your panel. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So we always have experts come on, talking about the importance of outdoor play, kind of like you do with your podcast. And we thought, wouldn't it be cool to hear from kids that grew up playing Timbernook throughout the years? And so we took teenagers and then children in their early 20s, and they had a kid panel, and we just asked questions. And the stories that came out, and Joella's like, once you get her going, she's very funny, but some of the stories that they had out in the woods, creating societies, it was almost like survival of the fittest out there.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really got us laughing.
All right. Yeah, we'd love to hear. So Joelle was on the panel this last year.
Yeah. So Joelle, so I don't know if you want to tell us some of the stories and what about the guys did and, maybe.
Yeah. So like I said earlier, we had guys versus girls, and the guys just like, as soon as the first camp started and Steve would say, okay, go, like we would run for the supplies. Like whoever got the tires and the planks first was like golden, like they were set. So we would grab all like everything we could carry, and we'd like run back and forth, grab all the supplies until they were like completely gone. And so the girls would actually take time building their forts. Like they would decorate it, make it all sturdy for like weatherproof everything. And the guys just had a pile of junk, and they're like, they don't even need that stuff. So we would go over and try to steal it. And they were like, well, this is my couch. And we were like, no, it's not. Like, it's just sitting there. So anyways, we would get into tire fights. So we would like, we would have girls on one side and guys on the other, when we would be like yanking it. And sometimes Steve had to step in because it got so bad. So we would have like democratic meetings and stuff. And Steve would be like, okay, like raise your hand if you agree like that tires or whatever can be couches. And like all the guys would raise their hands and all the girls would be like, no. It was so much fun. And I remember one time me and my friend Mackenzie Renner, we built this huge fort, and like it was going to rain the next day. So we made it rainproof, and we had like a tarp on the roof. And we asked this kid, Liam, if he wanted to help us build. And he was like, no, like I got the rock clan. I'm fine. And we were like, okay, buddy. And then And so we built our fort, and the next day it rained and his fort wasn't waterproof. And so we came down and he was like, can I come in your fort? And we're like, no. And he's like, why not? We're like, we asked you yesterday and you said no. But he was like so mad because we like shut him out. But anyway.
With so many stories, how many ish kids?
Probably like 20.
20 at a time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, how fun. Mm-hmm. What's the age range in the summer?
It's like seven to 13.
13 or 14.
13 or 14. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was a big age range.
Do you have memories at all the different ages? Like, do you remember when you were kind of like the youngest one and there's some older kids there?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I always looked up to Lara Renner. She was like the team leader for the teepee clan. And like, she would be like, go get me more ferns. And we'd like run and get her ferns and stuff. And she's like, you're going to be the spy. You're going to be the water fetcher. And she'd give us like, she'd give all of us jobs. But at that age, I just liked being bossed around because she was like so cool and like old.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Peter Gray talks about. He talks about the mixed age play and how it's good for every age.
Yeah.
She got a chance to be the leader, mm-hmm. and you got the chance, you like to get your jobs. Which was a better job, being a spy or a water fetcher?
Oh, obviously the spy, because you could like pretend that you were like totally joining the other team and then like you actually weren't. And then they'd be like, hey, and you run off with all their stuff and they're like, get back here. So much fun.
So 20 kids, Angie. I mean, that's not that many kids. Mm-hmm. You get together a group like that and you let them loose in the woods. How long would the session be in the summer?
Usually from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Yep.
6 hours. Wow.
Yeah, 6 hours.
I thought what you said was so interesting, Joelle, because you said the same people came back year after year, and the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
So Angie, did you have people that were trying to get in, but there's no space?
Yeah, every year. Yep.
It was first come, first serve. So that's like all the returning people would be like on the thing, like ready to like, yeah.
Yep. And that's why that's obviously why we shared the concept was because we realized we couldn't meet the demand and that there was nothing out there like that. So
yeah, you took the model. Mm-hmm. I talk about it a lot because, you know, obviously there's a lot of parents that stay home with their kids and they can try and emulate something like that with a group of friends. But then there are parents that they're working. And so to have that as an option, I think is so wonderful that you drop off and your kid has 6 hours in the woods and they're making secret societies and their water fetcher and a spy. I mean, I've seen some of the pictures. Yeah. They are so cool. It's like balancing out in the water, it's bubbles. I mean, so fun. Painting. And I even was just looking because I was with friends just the other day. We were talking about this new one that's opening in Jackson. And there was a storybook version and art, outdoor art. So I just love that there's all these ways that you can connect with children and their innate interests and also combine it with outdoor play. I thought your essay that you wrote, Joelle, you wrote an essay, you're heading off to college here soon.
Yep.
You wrote an essay about your childhood that your mom sent to me and I just absolutely loved it.
Thank you.
And you talked about some really big things that we all hope that our kids come out of childhood with. One of them is resilience. I'd love to talk about just a couple of them. Could you tell us, how does playing outside, how does 6 hours in a summer, building forts and being a spy, how does that help build resilience?
Well, it builds up your resilience because you're constantly running around doing stuff. You're not sitting around like kids that are on their screens all day. And so when you get older and stuff, you're used to like moving around and like constantly being active, staying active. It helps in school because you're more motivated to do your schoolwork and just like in life. Every Sunday, we used to like go hiking and like we're constantly like every season, we're always doing like a sport and stuff. And it's crazy because some of my friends, they don't like do that. And so the resilience isn't as high. And so we go for like a hike and they're like wiped, like they're on the couch sleeping. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready for more. Like
we've experienced that with at camp. We'll bring kids up to camp and they'll get pooped out.
Yeah. But being outdoors as a kid really allowed me to keep moving constantly.
Yeah. So it's your resilience and your endurance, both things. Yeah. And it allows you to do more in life. And I think that makes your life more full. If you are able to stick with it for a longer period of time, there's a lot of cool things out there to do. What about bravery? Mm-hmm. That was another one you wrote about.
Big one.
I have a lot to say about this one. So most kids that like didn't have that outdoor childhood that I got to experience, they aren't as brave. Sometimes I'll ask my friends like, hey, like you want to go skiing? And they're like, oh, I've never gone before. Like, I don't really want to do that. And I'm like, well, like I'll teach you, like it'll be fun. It just allowed me to go into more experiences that I wouldn't have done if I like hadn't gotten that bravery when I was a child. This past junior year, I moved up north for the year, just for 1 year. I don't know why, but I joined the all-boys hockey team up at Holton High School because they didn't have a girls team. And I was like, you know what? It would be so much fun. So I was like, why not? So, yep, that was an experience. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that I would have signed up for if I didn't have that bravery.
Yeah. And even just putting up with the wisecracks and they were teasing her right away, like trying to call her on the phone because what do you look like? And she was like dishing it right back at them.
Oh, yeah, because
I look like my mom. That's what she should have said. Have you seen the back of Balanced and Barefoot with the author photo? That's what I look like.
Yeah, right, literally. Yep. But also, like, me and my friends, we went on a 50-mile snowmobile ride last year. And, like, just yesterday, we took the snowmobile out and we were kind of, like, you know, tubing in the summer, but instead it was a snowmobile and like hooked up to like snow tubes behind. We were whipping each other around, but we like still made sure that like it was like safe. But bravery goes a long way, a long way in life.
It sure does. Well, because it makes your life so much more full and exciting because you go do new things. Actually, Angie, you had talked about that. The last time you and I talked, you told me about the snowmobile thing. I think it maybe had just happened or was happening around that time. And I think it's an interesting piece that you're here together because I think there would be a lot of parents who would not allow that for their kids. So, Angie, could you hit on this piece of how when you let your kids, and you say play the Timbernook way, and maybe you could explain that, even what that means. I love that. Mm-hmm. When you let your kids play the Timbernook way, this is also where the parent is learning to trust the child.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so from the Timbernook perspective, allowing the adults to step back and to observe and be there in case for safety if needed gives the child the opportunity to do some risk assessment where you're watching them and maybe they're scaling a boulder and you see that they're really paying attention and really monitoring their risk. There's no need for us to go in for that. But if they're doing something that's completely unsafe, like throwing bricks and there's other children down, that would be an instance where we'd go in to teach them. But now seeing it from Joelle's perspective, when they get older, having a healthy ability to assess for risk, they were doing that yesterday where I was, you know, I was in the house, you know, getting stuff done. I look outside. They had Noah out there too, who's 8. And, you know, 5 teenagers and Noah. but they were doing a really good job assessing risk and making sure to watch out for him. And so, you know, they need opportunities to practice.
Yeah.
On weekends, we're typically off on another adventure. Whether it's a scenic hike or a quaint town visit, I keep my Vessies with me because they effortlessly adapt to every twist and turn, ensuring comfort and style in our sometimes spontaneous escapades. Whether it's with the kids or just my husband and me, which is pretty rare, I love stepping into a great outdoor adventure with Vessies Storm Burst boots to capture the beauty of springtime landscapes. Their robust style is perfect for our nature excursions, adding a little dash of elegance to our outdoor explorations. The Vessi collection caters to every style. Whether you're dressing up for a night out or gearing up for a weekend hike, these shoes seamlessly blend into your wardrobe while offering the practicality of waterproof footwear. Ready to refresh your spring wardrobe? Vessi has you covered with footwear that fuses style with practicality. Head over to vessi.com/outside to explore their versatile collection and automatically claim your 15% discount on your first order upon checkout. That's vessi.com/outside for 15% off your first order.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of 2, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Adding on to mom's thing, I just feel like once you give your kid more freedom, it makes them trust you more. Like the trust goes both ways. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, that's good. That's good because you see that they see you.
Yeah, exactly.
That they know you. Mm-hmm. That's really big. That's a big statement. So we've talked about bravery. We've talked about resilience. And these are qualities, we talk about this a lot. These are qualities you don't get when you're doing seat work at a desk. Mm-hmm. And you don't get them when you're sitting quietly taking a test. You don't get them there. You can only get them when you're living life and doing things.
Yeah.
And this independence one I thought was really interesting too, because listen to this, Joelle. I talked to this college professor who's written a bunch of books about the changes between different generations. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite books of hers is called iGen, which stands for Internet Generation. Mm-hmm. She's talking about there are some significant changes and some matter more and some don't matter too much, but there's quite a bit that has changed. And she said as a college professor that so many kids, and you're right about there, are coming to college, and she said they can't even make simple decisions without texting their parents.
Ooh.
So would you say you fall into that camp?
No, I don't think so at all. Well, Timbernook really helped because the teachers and the counselors were there, but you just like couldn't see them. So you knew if you got in like really big trouble, like they would be there to help you.
Like the one time you made a tripwire.
Oh yeah, I got in trouble for that. Anyways, but they wouldn't solve your problems for you. Other kids, they would go to like camps, like rec centers and stuff. And they'd be like, you hear it, like some of my friends work there and they're like, oh yeah, we had a breakup somewhere. fight or whatever, but it was like a small argument between kids. And like at Timbernook, the counselors, and they don't do that because they teach you how to problem solve and overcome your interpersonal connection fear, I guess, if you will. Now I'm completely independent and I know who I am because Timbernook really set that really strong foundation for me.
You had a childhood filled with making decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
And you even wrote about this in your essay. You said, okay, so you were talking about this, there's stealing and there's these secret societies, right? And so there's a lot of interpersonal conflict that's coming up because you're stealing things.
Yep.
And then everyone is complaining. The boys are saying you can't take that. So you had a meet. It says you had, and I was actually surprised by this. So you say we have this democratic meeting and you're going back and forth and there's this debate that ensues. And then you said there was no solution.
Yeah.
When no one could agree on anything. So you went back to doing what you were doing.
You just forgot about it.
I was surprised by that. The adults did not step in and say, okay, this is the solution. It was just like, we've gotten nowhere. We're just going to go back to what we were doing.
Yeah.
When you say that the adults helped, they helped with you becoming a person that's decisive and can have these interpersonal skills, they helped by just kind of being in the background?
Yeah, definitely. I think that I would not be in my position if the counselors stepped in all the time. They did more by stepping back, giving us the opportunity to have that democratic meeting, but not like telling us how to have the democratic meeting.
Yeah, they didn't facilitate it for you.
Nope.
Which is a hard thing for a parent to do, I think. I love one of your quotes, Angie. It's one of my favorites where you say, something like, as the adults, we think we know what's best for the child, but their neurological system begs to differ.
Yes.
That's one of my favorites from your book, because we can trust kids. They're wanting to grow and learn. And like you said, as long as they're not throwing bricks or something that's extremely dangerous.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You can give them some freedom. You said this just a little bit ago, Joelle, but I think this is a really big statement. You say, while most kids my age struggle with their identities, I know exactly who I am.
Yep. I do.
Yep.
Yep.
Tell us more.
Timbernook really gave that to me. In Timbernook, I didn't really think about it that much. Kids were like on internet all the time and they would see like other people and they're like, oh, like my life's boring or like I'm not doing this or whatever. But it really helped me to like, I didn't have to think about that. And it helped me overcome my fears and just like be myself. And nobody judged me for being myself. So I just kept doing that. And when I came to like high school and stuff, people appreciate when you're yourself more than if you like try to be someone else. Because I have some acquaintances, I guess, that like they change their personality with whoever they're with. And people don't respect that. People respect
being authentic.
Being authentic. That's the word.
Mm-hmm.
And you got comfortable being authentic because you were allowed to be yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
For hours upon hours on end throughout your childhood. And here you are, not even out of childhood yet completely.
Yeah.
And you feel comfortable with your identity. And I think that's a huge thing. And it's an interesting piece. I don't know if things will change because of these childhoods that have been really steeped in technology. Do you think that a senior in high school, is anyone starting to think about like how they might parent their kid?
I mean, I guess so. I've thought about it because I'm just very grateful for my mom's parenting methods. So I'll probably do the same thing. I don't really care how big technology is when I have kids. They're not getting a phone until 9th grade because it really helped me. And I want to help my kids grow strong in like their personalities and in like the physical world, not the online world.
Mm.
So I'll probably do the same exact thing, but I feel like other people might not do that. I'm not really sure. I haven't really asked other people like if they've thought about parenting, but that's just my perspective.
Well, do you think that they have any idea what they missed, Joelle?
Mm.
I don't think so. I think they're in their own little internet bubble. And so when they look at my kind of childhood, they're like, oh, like, I am so glad that I wasn't deprived of technology when I was younger. Like, I don't think they see it from my perspective. If they could, I think that they would change their mind, but.
Wow, that's a really big statement, because I always have talked about how I'm part of the last generation that had an analog childhood without the screens.
Yeah.
And you are the first generation that did not have the analog childhood. And I think it's on the shoulders of the parents and the teachers to make sure that these kids know, because you can't pass on what you don't know. So that's really an interesting perspective, Joelle. They really just don't know what they missed.
Yeah.
Which is scary.
Very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they're like brainwashed sometimes.
Wow. Yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
What about this piece of comfort?
Mm. Everyone wants to be comfortable all the time.
Oh, yeah. You said they want to be comfortable. So I feel like they want to stay in the world that they've always lived in and not go out of their comfort zone to experience something that will give them more comfort. Mm. If that makes sense.
Well, yeah. And you talk about getting muddy. Did it ever bother you?
No, I loved it. One time I went swimming in the mud puddle. I was totally immersed.
I have an image of her with just her face.
Oh, yeah. Huge smile. It was so much fun. Like, all the kids were like, ew, like, what are you doing? You know, like, it's fun, guys. Just don't think about it. Just jump in here.
You're always a risk taker.
Yeah. Yep.
Did it help your relationships with your family?
I think so, because like you see those families, you go to like restaurants with your parents or your family, and you're all sitting around having a good time, like actually having interpersonal communication with them. And you look around and like half the families are just on their phones, and it's really sad to not see them building their relationships with their immediate family when they're just building it online, like a profile. Yeah, it's helped me a lot.
I think the same would go for you too, right? Angie is being a mom.
Yeah.
Being a mom is tricky, and you're going through all these different stages, and here you sit next to your teenage daughter. I mean, if people could see, and sometimes we put the videos up and sometimes we don't, but if people could see, it's like there's this connection there beyond the matching faces. There is this really deep connection, and you have these shared memories together that a lot of families don't have, because you're out there playing. And, you know, like you said, you got the picture. She's like, all the way up in the mud. What about with siblings?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Me and my sister are like really close, because we're also close in age. And we went through almost all of our Timbernook years together, and we were on the same team. So like constantly working together and like solving problems and stuff like that. Like, sure, like we have our disagreements sometimes, but we're really close. And I think it was...
They have very, very different personalities, but they have some very similar strengths that I think had a lot to do with just being outdoors for so much time. And like they're both, they're very strong in knowing who they are as people. They don't please people, so they are very comfortable in their own skin and very friendly and interpersonal. But besides that, you guys are opposites, you know?
But the woods gave a place for you to come together with your differing personalities and be on the same team. What does it even mean? Talk to me about your teams.
Oh, so I don't know. We just had like separate teams for stealing, and like we got along with the other team when we weren't doing the stealing game. But like when we were in that game, we were like, you guys suck. we would go at it, but like we were friends, but we put our friendships aside for the stealing game just because it was like,
they get totally immersed in the
play. It was so much fun. One time, okay, so counselors aren't supposed to be seen, right? Like they bend down low and they get back like away from the play so that the kids can immerse themselves. And one time I was completely immersed, like every other time, and I heard a little rustle, and I was like, what the heck is that? And so I turn around, and Steve is squatting there, squatting there by our fort, and I was like, who, what are you doing? Like, and he was like, oh, and he like turned around, like waddled back up. But it was so funny, because like for half an hour after that, I couldn't like get back in the play. I was like, I just saw an adult. And I was like shocked. And then it took me like 30 minutes in order to get like back into play. Yeah.
Well, these are lessons for life, right? And it takes the pressure off. If you don't have to be seen all the time, and it's almost better if you're not, that takes the pressure off of being a parent or a teacher. Oh, that's so powerful.
She told that story during the conference, and she goes, no offense, Steve, but you totally ruined the moment.
It was like,
everyone burst out laughing.
So oh, Steve, he rustled too much in the leaves.
Yeah, make too much noise in the leaves.
Well, this is interesting too, Andy, because when Joel, you're talking about all these games and how things evolved, did it happen partially just because of the kids that were there? Like, have those traditions of the forts and stealing, have those stayed, or does it morph depending on which kids are there for that summer camp?
It definitely morphs, because we had that same group, and then as we got older, kids began to leave, and the stealing game kind of went downhill from
there. They aged out.
Yeah, it was crazy. And now that I'm a counselor, I look at the kids play now, and I'm like, what is happening? Like, we never did this stuff when we were little. And, like, now they're all cute with their little teacups, but, like, before we were like, give me that tire! You barbarian! But now they're like all sweet, and like sometimes they'll like,
oh my gosh.
We used to branch off like way far away from like the initial like campsite with the fire and the stumps. But now like kids like build their fort like almost on top of the fireplace. I'm like, you need to go like that way a little bit.
Joelle's perspective too, I remember, is like when she was little, it probably seemed so much bigger.
Oh yeah.
But you know, the year-round program, they still do some of that stealing stuff. I think it is a cultural, like a kid culture type thing, because at different time sites, they always have kids stealing, you know, from each other and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny.
It's got to be cool to hear all of those different stories. Yeah. Well, okay, at what age, because I know you said it starts, it's, what was the age range?
Seven to 14 or 13 14. You were 14 the last year.
Yeah, I was. I was kind of old, but I was like, I want to do it one more year, Mom. And she was like, okay.
Aw. Well, you know what, though? That's really sweet, because 14 depends on, I guess, when your birthday falls. But our 14-year-old is in eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you should still be playing. That's what you talk about in your books, Andy. Is like, these teens should still be playing. So, so that you're talking second to eighth grade, which is a big span. Did kids start to leave, though, earlier than that, at earlier ages?
Yeah. I mean, the kids that aren't as involved in the play leave a little bit earlier, but some of the kids that were playing with us, they stayed till the last possible minute. Like, there's some kids that, like, they're actually, like, 13, but their mom, like, says that their birthday is, like, like 2 years earlier. So we're like, we asked this one kid. It was so funny. I was like, it was like my first year of being a counselor. And this kid on his thing, it said that he was like 7, but he looked like he was 9. And we were like, hey, like, when's your birthday? And he's like, I don't know. Well, I can't remember what he said. But we were like, so are you, like, how old are you? And he's like, 7. We're like, right. Okay. But...
Well, right, because if you're going to put that ruse up, you have to start at the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you want them to be there longer, you can't wait and do that at the end.
Oh, we have some camps for younger kids. So we have some camps that are like 4 to 7 and then 5 to 9 and 7 to 14.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, you have so many things that you offer. People can find that on your website. Which, real quick, why don't you tell people if they're looking for, I mean, this is such an awesome option. Where can they find you?
Oh, so just timbernook.com is the website. And we are now on, finally, on Instagram.
I saw that.
Finally, we have an OT student helping us to get it started.
She was like walking mom through the process.
She's walking me through the Instagram process. And on Facebook, we're very active on there as well. And yes, we have certified, we do have schools that are certified to run Timbernook during the school day. So some kids are lucky enough to get it as part of their school curriculum, which is awesome. And then we have private locations. Yep. That offer year-round programming.
And new ones popping up. So like I said, there's a new one popping up near us. So
I know.
Check back. If you've checked recently and haven't checked in a while, definitely check back. The mom who's doing that is so excited about it. We're excited to go check it out too. Okay, so tell us then about being a counselor. When you became a counselor, was part of you bummed that you weren't still a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Or were you excited about being the counselor?
The first... couple of years, actually, like the first 2 years, I was like, the girls would steal something and the guys would creep around the edges, and I just wanted to shout, look out behind you, but like I can't because I'm a counselor. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're gonna like get stolen from. But like It was really hard. And like, I knew some of the kids that were like just a little bit younger than me that were still in the camp, and I just wanted to play with them, but I couldn't.
Yeah, it was probably hard.
It was a very hard transition, but.
Yeah. How long would kids still play, I wonder? 16? I mean, you think they would?
Oh, high school kids?
I don't know. I feel like kids stop playing around like seventh grade now.
Yeah.
Like eighth grade, like they're cool for school. But like seventh grade is when like they still want to play, but they still like want to be cool. I don't know. Probably seventh grade.
Yeah. But if you plop them in the environment where there's a bunch of other people running around, they're going to join in.
Yeah. If everyone's doing it,
you would totally
do it. I would totally do it. But like kids in my school are like boring.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I remember in high school doing things like capture the flag in high school, like that, and really liking it, especially at night. I thought it was really fun.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much what they're playing out there.
Like manhunt. Like
glorified capture the flag, really.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
For an entire summer, it goes on the whole time.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model. So that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun. So check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
So join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. Because sometimes life sucks.
So, Angie, I got a question for you because it's interesting to hear Joelle talk about the culture of it.
Yeah.
You came in from this background of being a pediatric occupational therapist, which is super interesting to read about in your book, Balanced and Barefoot. Then you came up with this program that does not exist anywhere else. This is drop-off. It's basically like an 80s childhood in the woods.
Right.
And you came up with all these different premises, like we're not really going to see these counselors or adults. They're there. They're there for safety.
Hopefully.
How did you know to do it that way?
Oh, that's a good question. So I didn't. Really. The first year I was doing like activities with them and I had like fun ideas, but I was pretty much running it. And what we learned over the years is that the kids just wanted to play. And we kind of recognized that if we were too close to them, kind of like Joelle was saying, where Steve was too close to their fort, that it would actually ruin the play. So they would start turning to the adult and seeking constant reassurance. And we learned if we really backed up and got down low, that then kids came up with their own play ideas. And that's what was really missing, is kids are not given many opportunities to come up with their own play experiences or even initiate idea and execute it and then make decisions about it. That's something that they need more practice with, as you're hearing from Joelle.
Mm-hmm. And so then as the years have gone on, do you find, have you heard stories of parents that have just gotten so much more comfortable with that, that they've started to implement that in their lives when they're not at Timbernook?
Yeah, so there's a lot where kids will take some of those skills and bring it over into the home environment. And the parents are like, oh, I didn't realize you were capable of that. And so letting go is really big. I feel like with Timbernook in the schools too, it's really affecting the entire school culture. And so it's affecting recess and what teachers do at recess time, and allowing for longer recess sessions, allowing for loose parts at recess, extending Timbernook. So we've had schools that kids would get Timbernook once a week, now it's twice a week, but then they do a lot of parent education. And so the parents are starting to recognize the worth of it and bring it into the home environment. So
it's big. It's big. It's really spreading. And I think the parent needs to just see it. The parent or the teacher, they need to see it. And then great news, don't rustle in the leaves. So what would you do? Joelle, do you get bored as a counselor?
Oh yeah, all the time. Yeah. I keep a little notepad and I'm like, oh man. And so I don't know if we're supposed to do this. Like, we have little notepads and we're supposed to write like cute quotes that the kids say, like really funny quotes. But sometimes I'll see like if I can name all of America's states and capitals, because like you just get out there and you're like, all right, like if the play is kind of slow, you're like,
it can be harder for, it's almost like a sacrifice on the part of the adult to step back. Like it's our way of getting out of the way, but we're still there. Almost like being a lifeguard. Like it's not, when you're watching the water, it's not always interesting,
yeah,
but like you have to be there because things do change quickly out there.
Yeah. If you translate that though into your home and your daily life, it just is like less pressure.
Yeah.
You don't have to be constantly engaged. So if it were not a safety thing and there wasn't 20 kids and you're just, you know, in your own space, it's like, well, you could leave for a little bit and go throw in a load of laundry or go read a chapter of a book. It just gives you a little bit more freedom. Yeah. And same for those teachers, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a win-win. It's always bizarre to me that we don't do it this way because it's better for the kids and it's better for the adults. My goodness. Okay, well, how about one more? You say, Joelle, this is so beautiful. Timbernook will always be there in the back of my mind, which that's a huge statement right there. Timbernook will always be there in the back of my mind. I heard a quote one time that said, our childhood takes us by the hand for the rest of our life.
Yeah.
So this is that, right? Timbernook will always be there in the back of my mind, just waiting for me to revisit the comfort of the forest. Mm-hmm. So how can that affect a long-term life, knowing that the forest is there to provide you comfort?
When I get overwhelmed with school or with life and stuff, I'll take a trip to the woods and just go out in the woods and climb my favorite tree to the top and just sit there and like literally not do anything for 30 minutes. I'll just like sit and like listen to like the tree sway and the breeze and like the birds. It's very comforting because sometimes in today's world, like you don't get quiet. There's always something going on. Like there's noises everywhere. It's nice to just sit back and relax and not have to like think or do anything.
And like you said, this is not what everyone else is doing. As soon as class is over, as soon as you get to the lunch, you're on your phone, and this is what other people are saying, the same thing.
Yep.
And so you are valuing these things. Do you think, Angie, that this is mostly just a product of the time outside, or has there also been a teaching component? Because what I think is when I see and I hear Joelle and the things that she has to say and her perspectives, like a parent would say, I want my child to have that same perspective by the time they're a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. How much of it is experience versus also some teaching?
A lot of it is experience. I feel like teaching is like there, I guess, but you don't really learn anything if you don't get to experience it. If I was just taught about like the Timbernook experience and stuff, I wouldn't be the same as I am now because I wouldn't have got to experience that. And I feel like it would be great if all kids could experience what I experienced, but I know that's not always a realistic.
Yeah, but in some capacity, I think the concept of getting some kids together, giving them some space, making sure that they have some time of their own, these are the big components.
Yeah.
The hardest part, I think, sometimes is setting aside the time. And like, I mean, that quote is so big, Angie, that says the child's neurological system begs to differ. It's almost like a humbling thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
Yeah. And I think you know, your question was really great. You know, and I think you're right. Like, it's about experience, whether it's the adult creates that experience in their backyard for their kids or does whatever they can possible to have. But the experience is what's so powerful.
Experience over activity.
Or talking about it. Or just talking about it.
Right. Because there's a sentence in your book, too, about being outside provides emotional respite for kids. Mm-hmm. It says something like even simple. Is it funny? I can like quote your book.
I don't even remember.
It says something like even simply looking at nature is calming for children. So this is what we're talking about with Joelle. She can revisit the comfort of the forest. But to say to a kid, you will feel calm when you go, or if you look at it, is very, is very different than knowing in your body that if you get stressed and you go sit and listen to the birds for 30 minutes, you know you're going to feel better.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you want to tell parents, Joelle? What do you want to leave them with?
Sometimes giving your kids some space is a lot more powerful than constantly being around them. Because sometimes when your parent is constantly with you or constantly like telling you what to do is kind of suffocating for the kid. So sometimes just taking a step back and just like taking a deep breath can really influence that kid's childhood.
It's big. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting, Joelle, too, when you think about raising a child, there's not as much thought of, am I really teaching them how to parent? And this does. When you become a parent, you're going to have a good foundation there and at least have thought through a lot of these things.
Yeah.
If a child's on a screen, they, you know, you're a little more lost, I think, because you didn't experience it yourself. Maybe it seems a little bit more foreign. And so what I see in you is that there's a lot of thought there and a lot of intention. And when you become a mom, you're going to know more what to do.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yep. High schools offer parenting classes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you can teach someone something, but if you never get to it, like experience what it's like, then you don't really know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you a hard question here to end.
Okay.
Because we always end with the same question, except it's tricky because we've already been talking about so many of your stories. The question is this, you're going to have to really dig deep and think hard. I always ask the same question. What's a favorite memory from your childhood that was outside?
All right. Favorite memory was probably Timbernook. We had mud wars. We had mud wars and it was like mud obstacles. So the counselors just put a bunch of loose parts near like the mud puddles and we threw them in and we made our own obstacle course. And we had one of the counselors time us and we would run through as fast as we could. It was so much fun because me and Lara were like, we were like neck and neck for like the competition. We were like, oh, like we're going to cream you. And like we would go through and I was like so proud. I beat her by 2 seconds for like 5 minutes and then she beat me again. And I was like, oh my gosh. But yeah. And like the guys were doing it too, but then they went off and they were just like jumping in the mud and seeing how muddy they could possibly get. It was really funny seeing the look on their parents when they came out of the, like the mud puddle woods and they were walking up and they're like, oh my god,
like mohawks,
mud mohawks. It was so funny.
They called them the swamp kids.
Oh yeah.
They had a nickname.
Well, did you just hose them down?
Oh yeah. It was like cold water. Yeah, we had. They're like, oh, it's so cold. But
What a beautiful childhood. Angie, I think back on our times outside as young kids. And like I said, we've got teens now too. And I always say, you know, as a parent, I think just by the nature of life, you regret things. You regret certain things. But I do not regret for 1 second any of the time that we spent outside. And here you have a senior in high school. This is like the last few months here before graduation.
Yep.
You're a seasoned mom. What would you say to the moms who have little ones at home?
Yeah. So I would just really encourage them to embrace outdoors as soon as possible. The earlier, the better, just because when they're really little, they don't have those fears established yet. Just remember that outdoor play is one of the best ways to overcome fear in a time when there's so much anxiety out there, and just allow simple risk-taking. And it's a process of letting go of fear yourself, like letting it go and not worrying so much is really important. And give yourself some grace with that. when we work with adults, I have to remember that, you know, I've seen so much that, like, when we have teachers that do field trips at our location, I'm, you know, approaching them with grace, like just allowing them to, you know, just let go a little bit. And, you know, so just give yourself a little bit of space.
With yeah.
This has been one of my favorite conversations I've ever had. This is so cool. And, you know, Joelle, it is going to be very, 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 very impactful. Your voice actually is the most powerful voice. It's yours.
Thank you.
Because we don't know. And I remember, Angie, you had talked about once that you went to a middle school. I actually have told other people this story, that you went to a middle school to kind of try and see what it was like. Then you were like, I only lasted half the day.
Yes.
So we can't see through your eyes. For you to come and to share your story is so, you are going to reach tens of thousands of parents and then also affect way more kids than that too, because, you know, I've got a mom, it's got two kids, three kids, four kids, mm-hmm. and you're going to affect so many kids' lives. And that's a generational impact that you're going to have. So I thank you both for being here. What a beautiful essay that you wrote, Joelle.
Thank you.
Huge congrats. Happy graduation year. So, so, so appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. This has been awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.